Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are here to encourage you this Wednesday morning. Think about it. Together, us, God, there's hope. There's a future. There's a blessing. There's a restoration. That's why the liar's saying all the stuff that he's saying. No, I'm not talking politics. I'm talking Satan. He's a liar and he's a father of lies. If he's been lying to you and telling you that you're not blessed and highly favored and loved by God, that means you're blessed, you're highly favored, and you're loved by God.
That's right.
And joining me this morning to part the waters, to call down manna from heaven, to cause us all to want to go back and study again, is Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen.
You two appointed each other. And joining Jesus this morning is myself and Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And yes, the son of thunder, the one who smoked the word. A smoke offering meant something totally different before he met the word. Correct.
Good morning.
Good morning. Give a shout out this morning to all of our listeners. They don't have the list of the new audience members this morning, but I want to welcome you this morning. We are so glad that you've joined us. We've been looking for you, and we are going to join in a conversation with you that will encourage you, enlighten you, inspire you, and empower you to do everything God said you can do through him. Good morning, Najina. Najina, oh my goodness. I think about you and I'm so encouraged every single time. Good morning to all the teachers out there. Bless your heart. The power of the Lord be with you.
Amen.
Thank you for standing in the gap. Morning, morning, morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And Chris Hamilton.
Good morning.
The Sons of Thunder. One is nicknamed Lightning, and one is nicknamed Thunder. And they rotate back and forth. We just go, boom. Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and here we are. Here we are this Wednesday morning, you know, on the eve of a presidential debate. It's going to be happening tonight. We've heard a lot of, people's promotional 30-second spots, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
was that a good one?
Oh, you just, you know, it's like, you know, we're just cordial friends. You know, this is all politics. And they're like, you know, eating each other's lunch, you know, and the very end said, this is a paid political advertisement.
It's like, yeah, right.
My goodness gracious, you know, and there's a ad out for FedEx.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You said,
yeah, that's a good one.
And you have two candidates walking in. This is not a joke, this is a commercial.
This is, yeah.
There was two candidates for like three people flying on a plane. There's two candidates walking into a Kinko's store, and they're both running against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they're getting like materials and stuff of that nature, mm-hmm. and for their campaigns and all. And one of them looked at the other one and said, "Hey, you know, I'm getting some sort of material in for his campaign, you know, some mm-hmm. pictures and stuff like that, and banners or something." And the other one says, "Well, what a great backup plan in case I'm struck by lightning." And then the other guy, he sets his cups down. He has cups with his pitcher on them, right?
Yeah, coffee mug, yeah.
And he goes, "Wow, Because this picture, he didn't have much hair on his head, and the Cups did. He goes, great Photoshop. And then something they shake hands says, it's good to, you know, have a great
clean race.
Clean race. And then the Kinko's guy comes out with a sign and says, honk if you had an affair with him. It's like, oh my goodness, is that like American politics?
It is.
It's totally terrible. Amazing. You know, run on your record, and if you don't have a record to run on, don't run.
Yeah.
Go get a record first. You know what I'm saying? Not that kind of record. I was just looking at
it. A good record.
I was looking, or boom, I don't know which one it is. Like, not that kind of record. And, you know, you think about it. If King David was running for office, I could see the campaign signs right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was thrown out of his job at the King's Palace. They're not going to tell him that he actually did a better job than the king. They're not going to bring that up in the campaign.
Right, right.
They're going to say, well, you know, he was just competing and he wanted to take over the leadership position. And so we had to just, you know, get him out of the office. And the truth was, the king was jealous of David and he knew that he could easily run for office and win. But David didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
That the campaign wouldn't go that way. And so then David would say, you know, in his campaign, if he was going to run like American democracy, which probably is on a countdown to like it may never be again, is he would say, you know, these false accusations, I've been trying to treat them well, and these things are happening. All this is not true. And all these, you know, I'm for him, I'm not against him, all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the king would say, King Saul would say, I can't even locate him for a debate. He won't even debate with me. And he's like, first of all, he's not going to debate with you because he's David. Secondly, you'll kill him if he's off of the debate. I mean, you think about it. And then finally, if they show up, they'd be on the debate floor. And King Saul, we got to remember this, Christians, because we are not righteous. God's righteous, and it's his righteousness that comes through us. And the Lord will remind us of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to come right out and let people know up front that, you know, it's the reason why we are Christians, that we called out to God and God forgave us and forgives us, not because we're righteous in our own self. And so then, okay, the debate finally happens. You know, David gets it. This is just this is not really happening. We're just talking about what about. And then so David finally gets enough security around him that he can get close enough to the candidate he's running against, that's running against him. And he didn't even want to run. You know, he was chosen to run for that office. You
right.
know, you know, he was out just tending his sheep one day. He was at his office working.
Yeah.
And then people that, you know, God came to him and said, hey, I want you to run for office. Like, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Of course, his brothers lined up and said, you know, I am actually a better candidate than you.
Yeah,
David.
Great encouragement.
Yeah, right. God knew. And so he's, imagine, so David gets enough security to survive in the presence of the guy who's running against him because he's not going to kill him. And he comes out there, and all of a sudden, they bring a case against David. David, isn't it true that when, on your foreign policy, that when you were supposed to be out defending the nation, you were having an affair with another man's wife? I refuse to comment on the grounds that might incriminate me. Right?
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know, can I explain? Next question, please. This doesn't look good, you know?
Right,
and
right.
So, well, yes, I did have an affair with Bathsheba. Mm-hmm. So that means you're not qualified to be the king of Israel. Next question, please. Well, isn't it true, King Saul, that you were chosen by God to be king? I mean, you are the one that is the chosen one. Mm-hmm. And it's true, isn't it? He goes, well, yeah, I'm the chosen one. I've I was looking for my donkeys. The King James says I was looking for my ass.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, I thought I was going to be king. You know, I always wanted to be king. And then David says, well, didn't we find you hiding behind the luggage when it was time to when it was time to anoint you in front of everybody and call you up? Weren't you terrified and you had to go back and talk to your campaign managers to, are you sure I'm supposed to be king? That's what happened. He was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to drag him up and put him up front. And, of course, once he got there, he got so fearful, he began to put his, he was forceful towards people and hurting people and that type of thing. So then you think about it. And so David somehow gets through that in this theoretical debate. And then finally, the ace in the hole. King Saul, all the cameras are on him. All the reporters are leaning forward, and they know the question's going to be asked. The foreign policy question's been asked. Yes, you should have been at war, David, and you were having an affair. But that's not the question we were going to ask you. Isn't it true that when this all came to pass, that she got pregnant? You had a pregnant during. Isn't this true? You know, you were in the You were in the leadership house of the nation, and when everybody was at war handling foreign policy, you were having an affair with another man's wife because he was out. He was in the Navy SEALs, right? He was in. He was a general. He was out there fighting for the country when you were out there cheating on his wife. And the whole crowd goes, ooh. You know, tweets start going out everywhere. David's lost this election.
Yeah.
It's over. Let's take a poll now. Right? Is this not true? I'm talking, you know, we got to get a bear. This is who we are. It's Jesus is good. Mm-hmm. And so David's like, oh my goodness. He's getting blank minded now. He's thinking, what do I say now? I mean, you're right. My foreign policy sucks. You know, and I was, kings were supposed to be at war, and I let them down. Mm-hmm. But and he can feel the tension because he knows what his opponent's about to bring up. Mm-hmm. And he says, the reporter says this, didn't you send that? I just want to say another word, but we'll just say, didn't you send a man to his death? You didn't surround him with surround him with security.
Right.
You didn't. You knew this was a dangerous time. You knew that we've been out making war with these kings. You knew that if we just sent somebody to the front lines and did not bring security around them, that they were going to die. David, did you send this man to his death? He's thinking. He's looking for Joab. He's looking for Joab. You know why? Because Joab was his PR dude. I mean, Joab was the head of his military. He chose him to be the head of the military. And he knew. He knew what really happened. Everybody thought that this person died by friendly fire.
Right.
I mean, you know, just normal war. They thought. But Joab knew. Joab knew that King David sent a letter, a text, a memo, a security thing to Joab and said, have Bathsheba's husband, who is now pregnant with my child. I didn't bring that part up.
Right.
Send him out on the front line. Send him to a, what do you call where ambassadors stay? Embassy.
Embassy, yeah.
Send him out where there's no security around the embassy. Send him out there. I'm just saying that it kind of looks something. It could be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he sent him out with no cover. He intentionally sent him out so that he would die, that would stop whatever was going on, would not be known, right? But yet,
right.
God knows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so David has to hang his head. He just goes like, yeah, this is totally true. Of course, he's not debating with Saul because Saul's already dead. But this is like this is what would happen. And you're thinking, there's no way this guy could be of God. I mean, look at all the struggles and look at all the things that he's accused of. It has to be true because he did do that, and this did happen, and he couldn't be a man after God's own heart. His campaign slogan, a man after God's own heart, it can't be a true thing. It just couldn't be a true thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, and it is.
Right.
What does that mean? Listen, don't get caught up in all these politics. Yeah, we have a presidential debate coming up and all that, but realize, let's vote for Jesus. You know, let's understand that there's no one righteous, no, not one. But yet, you know, if we do sin, if we do make gross error in our walk, because we serve Jesus, we can be forgiven of that sin. And we have candidates across the board, across the country, you know, running for office, and they say that they're a Christian and they love God, and but they have things in their life where they made mistakes. Listen, you know, do you not have things? And if you, you ask people around you, they'll let you know. I mean, everybody's fallen short. I mean, you may not have smoked your Bible. You know, but listen, that's ridiculous for us to hold somebody's feet to some righteous fire instead of saying that he's willing to say, I want to be a man, or she's willing to say, I want to be a woman who runs after God's own heart. Mm-hmm. Don't write people off because they failed and made mistakes. Celebrate the fact that they're willing to openly stand up and say, I love Jesus, you know, and I need him, and I'm going to seek him and inquire him. And this is what got David into office. This is what got him into his leadership position, and this is what got Saul out. Was David inquired of the Lord. He was not a perfect man, but he abided with God. He would just spend time with God. He would abide with him. He would listen to him and do what he said, and he would believe him. And that was somebody God could use. Obviously not a perfect person. Mm-hmm. And it's real strange how Christians are looking for perfect people, and it's like, you wouldn't even vote for yourself if you were running. And there's nobody perfect but Jesus.
That's right.
You know, and if somebody has... It's fallen and things have happened, and we're getting close to elections across America, and we've got to wake up. We got to wake up and realize, listen, you know, that if they're openly professing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they've already cranked themselves up to the top percentile of the world right now, because a lot of people who say they're Christians aren't even saying squat.
Yeah.
And if they made mistakes and sin, but they're still serving God and sought forgiveness, and they're openly talking about it, that's a man or woman to be admired. Because most people are controlled by their past failures. And they realize, you know what, this is who I am, this is what happened, and God's forgiven me, but it's time for us to do what's right and trust God. You know, broken people reaching out to a broken people to tell them about a whole God. And we need to understand this, that as Christians, we're not looking at things through a secular eye. We're looking at things through a grace-filled, merciful, loving God, fearful God. Mm-hmm. It's way. We're looking at, you know, a biblical perspective of the world and the nation. And when somebody stands up and says, I'm not, and they stand up and don't listen to what people say. Look what they do. Because he said, you know them by what they do, not by what they say. Fruit. When they say they're against, with their actions and their words, against Jesus, when they say they're against, even though they say, I'm a Christian, but they say that their actions are, I'm against Jesus, the Antichrist is my best friend, you know,
right.
I'm treating God, apple of God's eye, like disposable people, Israel, treating Israel that way, you know, realize, well, your values, vote for people who stand for God. You know, vote for them. I'm not telling you to vote for them. I'm just telling you, listen, you got to answer to God for how. And if you're not registered to vote, and 33 million conservatives, by the way, think they are and they're not. Many people are not registered at all. And granted, I'll tell you, you know, from this whole journey for myself, you know, I haven't been quick to think about, you know, I'm going to vote for this person or that person. I'm just walking every hour, every moment in the fear of the Lord, thinking we're in some very treacherous times, and the hope is not a man. The hope is Jesus Christ, and you have to listen to him every step of the way. I mean, it's not time to vote on absentee ballot because you don't know what God's going to do by the time. You have to wait till the last rooster crows. Mm-hmm. You've got to hear what's happening. And some of the things we're seeing prophetically, just hold on. There's more things to happen in the movie. You know what I'm saying? It's not over. Don't get popcorn now. Don't file your absentee now. Realize some things are about to happen, and stop being so hard on people who love Jesus, who wanted to stand up and be a leader of your school board, or be a leader in your county or your city council, or you know, be a congressman, a state congressman, or senator, or governor, I mean, or federal leadership. You don't be so hard on them, you know. And if they're not a Christian, understand this, that, hey, maybe they might be a good leader. You know, so I don't hear any American saying this. I don't hear any American going, well, you know, I'm getting paid $56,000 a year with benefits, but I was noticing my boss, you know, for the last 10 years that he's been making good decisions and helping me feed my family and these nice cars and vacations and things I've been going on. And when I got sick, he gave me some time off to go take care of myself or my family. And he let me go off to go spend time with my kids that were sick and all that. You know, I'm thinking about quitting the company because I don't think he's really a Christian. It's like, I understand that 18% of the church, according to George Barr, don't even read the Word, Bible, right. And only 3% are concerned about where they are in the context of that. But let me tell you something. I've read it. This is what he says. He says, submit to your boss as unto the Lord, not for his eyes only, but for God's eyes, because God's the one that rewards you. Mm-hmm. All authority is established by God, and those who rebel against it, that means resist it, rebel against what God's established. He actually says this in the context of Ephesians chapter 6, slaves, submit to your masters as unto the Lord. What does that mean? It's irrelevant. If Moses was raised up under Pharaoh, let me tell you what Pharaoh's house looked like. It looked like probably burnt people, cut, disemboweled people on stones for sacrifices, deep sexual orgies and sexuality was everywhere. I mean, there were, he thought he was God, Pharaoh, and that, you know, all these things happened in there. And part of their sacrifice was prostitution and all that kind of stuff that they would do for their gods. And this is where Moses was being raised up as a boy.
Yeah.
If he would have quit Pharaoh, he would have quit God's order for him.
Right.
And Joseph, I mean, come on. Moses delivered God's people, but he was raised up and worked for under Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. Pharaoh thought he was God. I mean, everybody's worked for a boss once they thought they were God. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but God parted the waters for Moses. Mm-hmm. And then Joseph, the people who were supposed to be for him sold him into slavery. And he's being raised up by Potiphar. Same kind of stuff's happening in his house under Pharaoh. He's a governor under Pharaoh. But God raised him up in those circumstances. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Yeah, we got to knock it off as America. E pluribus unum, though we're many, we're one. That it's not about, we're founded on Christian values, but it's not a theocracy. With the Constitution, we are allowed to worship God. If you push theocracy concepts, then the First Amendment is going to go away, because whoever the strongest theologian is, is going to take over. Whoever the most religious controlling person is going to take over, versus like, just give me the right to worship Jesus. And so if somebody's running for office and they have great ethics and great values, but they got it wrong when it comes to Jesus, but they're not going to harm the people, and they're going to stand with Israel, and they're going to allow the Constitution to still stand. Hey, we can survive that.
Right.
But you can't survive, and we need to talk openly about if it's the wrong perspective, but we can survive that. But you can't survive, somebody who's against Israel, because Israel, if you curse Israel, if you do Israel in, God's going to do you in. You're not going to live as a nation.
Right.
Period. Simple. Done. You can't poke. You can't poke God in the eye.
Right.
The apple of God's eye, and think that He's not going to poke your nation off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Your lamb will be there, but nothing else in regards to that kind of concept will be there. So I want to encourage you this morning. Listen, if it didn't happen, but you can imagine if King Saul and David got on a stage and began to debate each other. I mean, come on. David would look really, really bad in there. Mm-hmm. And most people will be buying into the king, because the king is king, and they know that he could take their head off, and he has the power, he has the resources, and he can do anything he wants to with that resources. So David's going to look like he's not going to come over good.
Right.
And it's up to you to understand, as a Christian, how does God see people? Does he see them? Does he hold our sins against us? Or does he forgive us?
Right.
Does he use the weak things of the world to confound the wise, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are? Or does he only look for the strong, strapping, tall people that are able to intellectually think their way through things? No. God puts his all-surpassing power in broken people like Pat.
Yes.
It's broken people like Pat and smoking people like Chris. And he doesn't smoke. That's passed off. And just horrific when people like me in regards to how could this work? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're at this constant state of going like, but I'm not, and you're using me to be, I am, and that's not going to work.
It can't work.
It's so funny, you know, Pat and I get together, like, I look at him for the answer, and he looks at me for the answer, and we're thinking, this is not good.
We're in trouble. You know,
we're going to have to go find somebody that knows. Thank God for friends that come around us, and we love wisdom. If you're a person, let me ask you right now, if you are a man and woman who loves God, and you love what God's doing through VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, and you have those kind of talents, you know, and you lay them down for God, you know, we encourage you, pray about, you know, joining the team and being a part. You know, we're looking for lawyers. We're looking for more accountants and more a team to come together so that what God's about to do in the earth and what he's going to do in America, that all of us together in this conversation, that we can turn the hearts of this nation. We need businessmen and businesswomen to stand with us. We need those who understand things, how things work. And we just encourage you to join the team. Let us know. You know, contact us at VFNTV.com. And let's do this thing together. E pluribus unum. Though we're many, we're one. Right. If we stand with God and stand up for the Constitution, no matter what, history books will say about us that we did what was right, and our children won't be disgraced for the fact that we didn't fight for their freedom or our grandchildren. Mm-hmm. So I encourage you. Yes, the debates are tonight. They're tonight. But don't look with a critical religious eye tonight. Look at both of the men who are running, understanding that God loves them both. And every one of them, both of them, are doing the best they know. And people can have a different viewpoint than yours, and it doesn't mean they're wrong. Mm-hmm. So don't be religious and just shut down your, I'm not going to listen to anything this person says, because you're being a Pharisee if you do that. You just got to listen. Understand every perspective is not your own. You have to listen to what's going on, but then you measure it by God's word. Mm-hmm. You pray about it, and then you make a decision. And I encourage you, although, you know, in the past we did vote by absentee ballots, but this is probably the most important election America's ever faced. And are you going to trust your decision for the leader of the nation on the postal service with a stamp to deliver this? Yeah. Or do you want God to see you standing like the Iraqis stood in front of the whole world and dipped their thumb in the ink and pressed it on the card so everybody could see you voting? I think this year, you know, I'm rethinking about, I'm not going to do absentee by God's grace. I'm going to be in town. I'm going to go, and I'm going to stand in line and just believe and go vote public. I want to be seen. I'm hoping Christians will show up by thousands in the polls, and then we have to wait. Have to leave the polls open for an extra 3 hours because we just came out in droves. We do, because 50% of Florida will have voted before the election by absentee.
Wow.
Listen, I'm telling you, we don't know things that God's shown us. Hold on. I mean, wouldn't it be terrible if you voted, you know, here's Moses back against the water. You know, the people are rebelling against Moses, and Moses is going into God's like, I was so fine. I was okay on the backside. Why did you? No, he didn't say it. He's like, why'd you bring? Hey, so here's the, you know, Pharaoh's army's coming against them, and it looks like it's totally over. You have the Dead Sea on one side, and then you have Pharaoh's army who was viciously coming after their slaves, what they were enslaved God's people. And you're thinking, oh, this is over. It's not time to vote for your absentee ballot yet. Right. I'm just encouraging you, don't do it yet. Because if you vote for that, you're going to vote based on thinking, okay, Moses won't be a candidate in the future. It's about to be over for him because they're going to take his head. If you would have voted for, you know, in the battle for America too soon, you wouldn't have voted for George Washington. Right. But they demanded him to be king later on, and he said, no, it's just president, and it's for a term. Don't vote too soon. This is the year. Don't vote too soon. You know, schedule your time. Get time off. Make sure you have plenty of time to stand in line. This is not something you want to buzz in or buzz out. You want God to see you, you know, following his lead in what you're doing. But if you would have voted at that one moment, you wouldn't have voted for Moses, not because you didn't like Moses. You would have thought he's dead. If I vote for him, I just would have wasted my vote. But you didn't understand that God's about to part the situation. God was about to part the sea. He was going to part the Dead Sea. Mm-hmm. He was going to part the Dead Sea, and they were going to walk over on dry land, and they were going to make it to the other side. And the candidate that you thought you were going to vote for that was going to win everything and be the leader, he was going to die in the Dead Sea. Mm-hmm. Don't listen. Stop voting so soon. Hear a matter out. Voting is a honor, and people have died for it. Go to Arlington Cemetery. Go to the local military cemetery where you are and say, dear God, forgive me for taking this for granted. Hold the Constitution in your hand and say, Lord, would you not extend this time and give it back to us, Father God, where the enemy's trying to take this? And then wait. Don't vote until you have to vote. Vote on election day. I mean, go early. Don't wait too late. They may close the polls on you. If people are trying to threaten you and they're trying to convince you not to vote, you know, take a beating for your vote. Mm-hmm. Don't. I mean, this is going to be a smaller beat. I mean, there's people that were standing in front of polls with bats, mm-hmm. you know, in some polls. Just stand strong. Know who you're going to vote for. Study the candidates. Abide with God. Ask God. Hear a matter out. And then vote. Listen, Jesus, God, this is God, God voted for David. And everybody that was under King Saul's leadership voted for him. But once God changed the matter and parted the Dead Sea, if you would,
right.
then all the people that voted for King Saul came looking for King David.
That's right.
And said, well, you know what? We were always with you. We always thought you should be the man. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
We'll be right back. You know, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together and we got to get
right.
people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, mm-hmm. then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history,
mm-hmm.
our history started with next step. And it was
right.
it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got mm-hmm. back to seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had
right.
to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And
right.
he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once.
Mm.
Once.
Wow.
And then when he would preach once, think about it, when he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now, and they're connected in the social media atmosphere. There's 1/6 of the world's population that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just for $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict. Run through every door, every opportunity. And it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you, because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything. And I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. You can reach out to Jesus Christ. That he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You know, John, I've been really encouraged, you know, listening to Greg, you know, hearing about his, he's got a lot of direction about wanting to get, you know, start working out again. And I went to a local gym, and they had a membership fee, man. They wanted like $50 a month.
$50 a month.
Yeah. I was like,
it's
man.
It's kind of cheap, actually.
Well, my workout plan is just going to work just to save up that $50 just so I can have a membership fee to get into the gym to start working out. I'm like, this ain't working, man. You know? And I'm like, I just can't do the $50. I was like, I gotta find something that I can, you know, that's gonna encourage me. Well, there's no subscription fee.
Really?
And I found out. Check it out. You can subscribe. VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber. You get more content. You get more messages that'll encourage you. If you're not a subscriber, check it out. Go to VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the first hour this morning is Pat and Chris. Well, you know, we just were talking about the elections that are happening tonight, or the elections, the debates that are happening tonight. Thank God for the editors for VFN Radio. I was listening to yesterday's program, leaning forward, like, am I going to say funeral? And bless your heart. But I want to talk about something that's just meant so much to me, something that's just blessed my heart. I just been moved with such compassion. And it was like the parting of the Red Sea for me. You know, we were coming together, you know, in Pensacola. We had several churches come together and had a wonderful time. And Donna was just being so gracious to fix me one of my diet shakes.
Yeah.
And it just, my blender thing, my bullet, it's called a bullet.
Yeah.
You know, Eddie's got insanity going on and I got a bullet going on. I'm taking a bullet for this. And it just busted. It's like, bam! And it ruined.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Donna was upset because she's wanting to make me a shake and she's mm-hmm. very just loving and helping me out like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's upset about it. I'm like, oh, no, it's fine. Let it go.
That's good cheeseburger.
Yeah, and get some cake or something. I'm like, we can work our way through this, you know. And so I knew I had a limited time before the replacement bullet showed up. I'm saying, you know, let's order pizza. I'm not a pizza person. Oh, can you imagine if I was a pizza person? Now, I have a witness to this, that Pat can lose 5 pounds by eating a bag of Fritos.
Yes,
right?
He can.
Isn't that right, Chris?
He can.
Anyway, let's move on. Lord, forgive me. Wash me, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. I mean, he eats Fritos like on his eggs. And Fritos for his Speedos.
Oh, no.
You saw me, you know what I'm saying? You probably see him on the beach out there. I'm like, you know, cover up, man. You're making us look bad.
Oh,
and
come
so.
On now.
Somebody says, I don't want to show my ab. I have one big ab. And so it broke. And so I thought, well, I have a limited amount of time. I'm going to try to taste this. I'm going to eat this and eat this and eat this. And it really wasn't much. It didn't, you know, in comparison, it wasn't really. I had, you know, bran, you know, for breakfast, but I had
right.
two bowls of bran.
Oh, no.
I was really splurging here, you know, and then. Of course, it's time for me to kick in my spam habit. So I ordered.
Oh, no.
I was able to make my spam sandwich for lunch, which I think is a dietary product. I don't know. I know my dog just pushed it around with his nose in the yard.
He wouldn't touch it.
Max wouldn't even eat it, man. I'm like, you're doing me in, man. I'm not going to feed you for a week to eat that spam. And he kind of, it's just a chunk of meat. And so he began to kind of hold it like a bird dog will hold a bird. He wouldn't even bite into it.
I don't think that's.
But you think about it, you know, dogs' noses are like million receptor things on them,
mm-hmm.
and he sniffed spam, and he didn't know what it was. I probably should not eat that anymore. I probably shouldn't. I use a doorstop anyway.
If you knew where it came from.
Yeah, I gave Blake, you know, my son-in-law. I sent him home a can of spam to see if he stands with me. I haven't heard the report yet.
Right.
Back. Hopefully, I'll hear Amber soon if Blake enjoyed my spam. But that with mayonnaise and mustard. Oh. So then, of course, then it comes dinner time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really can enjoy these things when you're having shakes and stuff like that. And so for dinner, I don't know what I had, but it was not a shake. And, oh, I had Sonny's barbecue,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is very good.
It's all in one day.
Is this your typical? Well, it's three meals. I had what? I mean, I had no Fritos. Is that a normal day? Like I had bran for breakfast.
Okay.
One sandwich with no tomato sauce. This guy puts tomato sauce. I think he just bathes in tomato sauce, you know, in the morning. Whatever he's heating up for lunch, he's like, this is tomato sauce on something. And it smells so good. It's amazing how good it is. But then he puts Fritos on the tomato sauce. That's that big. And then I had a sandwich for lunch. And then I had, you know, Sonny's for dinner. Dinner. That's like three meals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no wonder.
But did you spread them out, or was that all like in?
Oh, it's breakfast, you know, at the crack of dawn,
right.
you know, when I have breakfast before the radio program. Takes a while to get my thoughts together and abide with God. And lunchtime, you know, was just after the program and stuff. And then dinner time.
Yeah.
But I felt so full. I felt full. Isn't that weird? We're so emotionally unstable. You know, I'm like, you just feel like, I just feel like I lost, you know, feel bad. And I'm like, why do I feel bad? I just had a normal meal. At least I didn't pour butter over my pizza.
Garlic butter, thank you.
Listen, it's like 20 gallons of butter with some garlic sprinkled in it. Y'all call it garlic butter like it's diet bread or something. I'm saying, I'm walking into the studio trying to eat my shakes. No, actually, that was still off because I stopped by the deli. Some fried chicken.
Yeah, chicken wings.
And you know, and I felt also it was good. You know, I had a little some turnip greens and some vanilla and
biscuit,
cabbage, a very big biscuit. It was like a biscuit cake, and some fried chicken. It was so good. And I think that was pretty normal. And then you guys here, y'all are, you know, because John came in town and you guys were all eating together.
Yeah.
And they're not only eating pizza, you have to understand, in pink boxes. I don't know what's up with pink boxes, but not breast cancer, I think they're raising my breast cancer.
All right.
Healing for it. Then the cure. But you're eating pizza with butter, like a cup of butter poured over a piece of pizza, a cheesy piece of greasy pizza.
It needed more grease.
and you poured butter over it. And I'm sure I didn't see, but I'm sure you have Fritos on top of that.
Yeah. They were sitting on the table.
I knew it. Sure, you know, he's got to have crunch with something.
That was my appetizer.
Right. And so, and I'm sitting here eating, you know, collards or something or
on top of your
turnips.
Chicken.
It was a little
greasy.
It got cooked at a young age. It was a small chicken. And I'm feeling, you know, like I've sinned or something. You guys got like butter dripping off your faces, drinking Coke, not Diet Coke, mind you, Coke. And I'm gaining weight looking at you. That is so unfair, but this is it. So Donna calls me, you know, I was in the office and she was calling me. She said, well, I'm here right now looking at the bullets. I'm like, no, it's gonna end. It's gonna end. Over. It's gonna end. You know, she's gonna go buy a blender for me. She's so good, and so she's gonna go get. She said, I'm standing here looking at him right now, and she names them off. And you know me, I may have known at one time, but I don't know anymore. And so, she comes home with a brand new bullet. So this morning, I took the bullet again. I made a shake this morning, and I actually feel better when I do that. Food, you know, a lot of the food has so much grease in it. Oh, Mr. Frito, man, I don't even want to hear it. He's looking like, yes. it's like, yes. This is a man who can put a burrito in a trunk for a week and eat it with some hot sauce, you know?
It's better that way.
I think it's the same thing. I'm not sure. It's got to have some growth in it.
Hot sauce is a preservative.
I think they recycle those chips they give you at the local Mexican restaurant. Anyway, and so I took the bullet this morning and I made my shake and I have it with almond milk, which is pretty cool. If you never had almond milk before, that's like 60 calories or something for a cup of it, but it just tastes, especially on cereal.
Like drinking ice cream.
Well, I'm not talking about the 60 calorie one, not the 120 calorie one. And you probably added like fufu to it. But you don't have to put sugar on your cereal. You can have it like that. But when you're making a shake, you know, you want to have some sweet, because I put a whole huge tablespoon of cocoa in it. The cocoa has no sweetness to it at all. But that almond milk's so sweet, and then you have the shake mix that I'm having, which is like a protein healthy. It's like this big huge thing of like eating broccoli and everything. Mm-hmm. And it boils down to maybe 150, 200 calories for that one whole thing. And it lasts, and it tastes very good. It's not a negative thing. It's not something you're trying to choke down. Oh, and then I pack strawberries in there. So I got strawberry chocolate shakes. And they're great. So I'm just glad to have my bullet back. I enjoyed the vacation. I revisited all the food that we typically eat as Americans, and I was not feeling good about it. You know, and it's amazing how your emotions can change when you go to button your pants. It's like, doo-doo-doo-doo, the Lord's good, the Lord's fine. And all of a sudden you're trying to reach that button and that hole together. You're like, I feel terrible.
And the button busts off, yeah.
did it.
Wow.
Selah. That was great. I was wondering what hit me in the head. Oh my goodness, there was a commercial years ago about that somebody was putting their jeans on and a button shot off across the room and hit somebody. Listen, you know, it's amazing. It really is. So pray for me. I really want to be, I need to, you know, get this down. I'm down to, I guess, 185, 165 anorexic pounds.
That would be anorexic.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to you this morning.
Has anybody got some biscuits? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's time for the wisdom moment. It's so important to share, you know, the wisdom from God's word. When you get a chance yesterday, as we were talking about, and if you missed it, you got to catch yesterday. Because if you look at the context of what was said in the United Nations by our president and what our Secretary of State signed, that... his statement can be summarized as the future does not belong to Christians at the United Nations.
Right.
You got to hear that. You need to hear that. You can go to VFN Torch at VFNTV.com, or you can go on the highlights on your phones and iPads and all, and listen to the future does not belong to Christians. And it was spoken of by our president at the United Nations, and not understanding. And so I read to you very specifically from the Quran. And what it means to blaspheme Muhammad or Allah. And when somebody talks about slandering Islam, listen, blaspheming is defined as accepting Jesus, acknowledging Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Mm-hmm. You've got to hear it. You need to hear the whole thing. It's, quote, the future does not belong. It's not, we're not quoting the president, but summarization. He says the future does not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. Which to us, when you read the Quran and our profession of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and they don't, it says it doesn't belong to us.
Right.
And so we got to wake up. If you want a future, if you want a future, you need to hear this. And we're not talking about the man. We're talking about the policies and the values. And this is what was said at the United Nations, where all the nations, 200-something nations, were gathered together. Mm. And you need to hear that. Well, it's time for the wisdom moment. Today is the third of the month, so we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3. We always want to coincide, you know, wisdom in our day. And there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Wisdom brings you wealth. Wisdom brings you prosperity. Wisdom gets you through things. Wisdom put the heavens in place. Wisdom's put the stars in place. Wisdom is the thing that runs our day. Wisdom is God, and not to have wisdom is not to have God. It's to be a fool in his folly, and so we want the wisdom of God in our lives. And so what we do is, since there's 31 chapters, there's approximately 30 days in a month, right? And so we just correspond. We look at chapter 3 for the third day of the month, and I encourage you to begin to listen to the whole chapter. Just listen to it. You can read it, but listen to it, because you want to do other reading in the Word and let God lead you in your abiding time, but you want to wash wisdom over you. And so we pick a couple verses out to be able to share. And today's proverb that we're sharing in the wisdom moment is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 through 2. It reads, "My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life for many years and bring you prosperity." Think about that. It's beautiful. My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life for many years and bring you prosperity. I mean, you want to be prosperous. You want to have a long life.
Right.
People are looking for the fountain of youth. You know, Maybelline and all these people who are making all this makeup trying to make people look younger.
All right.
Get some wisdom. You know, rub some wisdom on your face. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Don't forget this. He says, don't forget God's teaching. The first thing he tells us how to have this prolonged life and be prosperous. Don't forget God's teaching. And by the way, prosperity is not how men define it, and it's not how the typical American defines it. Prosperity is a blessed, joyful life, that things are provided for you by God and you're contented where you are. You know, whether you have much or you have little, you have God and you have his wisdom. and you're forgiven. I mean, that's blessing. And so he tells us first is don't forget God's teaching. What does that mean? First of all, it means that we can forget them.
Yeah.
That means that we first have to know them before you forget them, right? You can forget them, but you can't forget what you don't know. So first you actually have to know his teachings. You know, it's the Lord's expectation of us to know his teachings. He tells us that in Matthew 28, he says, teach them, he tells his disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings. Mm-hmm. He says, you're really my disciple if you know my teachings and follow them. Right?
Right.
And so, first of all, you have to know the teaching. A lot of people are being very religious and they're upset. Why is my life being shortened maybe? Or, you know, why am I not prosperous? How come I don't feel, you know, prosperous? And it's like, well, you're being religious possibly, but you're not understanding the context of it. You not only need to read his teachings, you need to know his teachings.
Right.
And follow them. Mm-hmm. And then he tells us that, in this proverb, when you think about it, then we're told, don't only not forget them, but to hide them in your heart. So once you know them and you're walking in them, and and since you can forget them, you're continually abiding with him, and don't say, I know that already. How many people say, I know that already? It's like, no, you're not walking it anymore. You forgot how marriage mm-hmm. is supposed to be. You forgot how family is supposed to be. We can forget. That's what happens. I mean, the enemy works overtime to get us to forget.
Right.
Oh, it's amazing. And the older you get, the easier it is to forget.
Yes.
You know? And so you spend time with God. And so we need to hide God's commands in our heart, because this is prosperity and a long life. Your word hath I hid in my heart, David said, that I might not sin against you. When we hide God's word in our heart, the motives of that is not only to meditate on his word, but hiding his word in our heart helps us to know what his word is, and that we would walk in obedience to it. Because he's, thy word hath I hid in my heart that I wouldn't sin against you. What he's saying is that I know your word, I meditate on your word, and I know, because I know it, I won't disobey it. I'm going to walk in obedience to it. And with that, that means you're not going to sin if you're obeying God. Because sin is walking out of the paths of God's instruction, missing the mark. Mm-hmm. So if we're not hiding his word in our heart, we can be in sin and not know it because we forgot the ways of God.
Right.
Your word is a lamp unto my feet. It tells me where I am. And it's a light unto my path. It tells me where I'm going. You a lost man if you're not in the word, right?
That's right.
But by keeping God's word in your heart and not forgetting them, that you prolong your life for many years and it brings you prosperity. Prosperity, well, God's prosperity. It's important to understand it wasn't the action of reading your Bible, God's word, for example, that prolonged your life or made you prosper. So many people are just like paying penance. Yeah, I'm reading my Bible. I'm reading three chapters a day. Mm-hmm. It's not your religious works. It's not a religious act of reading the Bible and memorizing scriptures that gives you a long life and prosperity. It's the word itself.
Right.
It's the commands of God themselves. That you do not forget, that you meditate on, that keep you on this road, that bring you prosperity. It's not just hearing God, but it's obeying what God says and understanding the cross is about empowering you through his spirit to be able to do it. Do you want to be prosperous? Do you want to have a long life? Listen, the wisdom for today is Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life and bring you prosperity. Well, God bless. We are coming to the end of the first hour. What a wonderful time we had. Don't forget to go to VFNTV.com and download the latest version as we're progressing to the VFNTV app 3.0. It's progressing. And it's going to be fully there very, very soon. For those that are not joining us, catch us on the FNTV.com or the app. But those that are staying with us, we got so many things to share with you coming up in the extra hour on the other side, starting in just a few moments. God bless.